It's a little funny when I get up to speak in front of like this number of people, and usually used to start with Good Shabbos. But I will anyway speak about the parasha of Shavuot. The Torah says in the beginning, the first pasuk in the parasha, "In b'chukose teilechu v'esmitzosai tishmeru b'asisa mosam." We have to keep the Torah, keep the chukos, guard the mitzvos. And Rashi says, the famous Rashi in the very beginning, "In b'chukose teilechu yachol ze kiyum ha-mitzvos." We might think that when the Torah says we have to go in Hashem's chukim, it refers to kiyum ha-mitzvos. No. The next words in the pasuk already refer to kiyum ha-mitzvos. So what does it mean? Shetiyu amelim b'Torah. That we have to be amel in Torah. To work hard. Work hard in our learning. It's interesting to note, if we read it back into the pasuk, so the word b'chukosai refers to the Torah, and teilecho is the verb referring to the amelus. Shetiyu amelim b'Torah, the b'chukosai is the Torah, and the teilecho is the amelus. Halicha somehow represents this idea of amelus. There's a famous word based on a pasuk in Zechariah, v'nasati l'cha mahalchim b'na omdim, that ha'ele, that Hashem says, that or the Navi Zechariah says, referring to Zerubbabel, that I will make you walk amongst these omdim. These omdim, first say, refer to the Srafim, the Chayas HaKodesh, the angels, the malachim. The angels are referred to as the omdim, those who are stagnant, don't move, don't grow. But you, a person, you're a mahalif, you're a holif, you're a goer, you're a grower. To go is to grow. We find, it's also interesting, this is, I'm not sure if it's coincidental, but it's, I'm not saying this is the chat. But we find a lot of times in Chazal and other places, just even the way people speak, where are you going? I'm going to holech li'mod, that's the lashon of learning. We're familiar with the famous story of Rabbi Kiva and Rachel, who basically elope, and Kalva Savua, Rachel's father, was so upset that his daughter, such a girl who could have married what he thought a gadol hador, and now she's marrying this poor shepherd. So he was so upset, he said, "I make a neder, neither one of you can get any benefit from any of my property, any of my money, nothing." Okay. Years go on, Kalva Savua comes ultimately to regret the oath that he made. And the Gemara in Tzuvos tells a story about how he heard there's a big rabbi coming to town. He didn't know at the time it was Rabbi Akiva. And he thought, "I'm going to go to the big rabbi, I'll ask him to be mater, my neder." And he goes to Rabbi Akiva and he says, "You know, I have a daughter, she married this guy, the shepherd. He didn't know anything, I made this neder, I regret it. Can you be mater the neder? Can you undo my neder?" So Rabbi Akiva said, "Well, if you knew that this person would grow up and he would be a great man, he would be a big rabbi, so would you have made such a nether?" So Kabbalah says, "Even if you would have learned one halacha, if I knew he was going to know one halacha, I never would have made the nether." So Rabbi Kiva says, "So that guy was me, and the nether is undone." So Tosos over there, Sakasha, right there on the spot, Tosos says, "One second, there's a halacha in Hilchos Nedarim. Also, liftoach benola. You can't be matar a nether based on some type of new circumstance that arises in the future. The nether has to be matured based on the remorse that the person had at the time they made the nether, so there was something different he wasn't aware of, he wouldn't have made the nether. But now that something new happened, you can't be matured nether based on that." So Tosos answers, famous answer, very beautiful thing. He says, "Yishlomar, dehachal lo chashiv nola. This is not considered to be a new circumstance that arose after Kalva Savua made that nether. That circumstance existed already at the time. Why? How so? Kevan shahalach lebeit rav. Since Rabbi Akiva, when he married Rachel, immediately went to go ahead and learn Torah. So, derechu beholich lilmod shenase adam gavur. The way of the world is that a holich lilmod, again our language, a holich lilmod, somebody who goes to learn, he's nase gadol. He becomes great. That's the normal thing. That's the normal way. So what's the key? What's the success? Key to Rabbi Akiva's success? He was holich lilmod. What was the halicha? What was his growth? So I think we're all also familiar with the famous story of Rabbi Akiva and the four different Chaim Shmulevitz. Rabbi Akiva went away for 12 years. His wife sent him to learn. And he came back after 12 years of learning where he hadn't seen his wife the entire time. And he hears his wife having a conversation with the neighbor. And the neighbor's like, "Ah, your husband left you 12 years. You know, what kind of husband is that?" And Rachel responds to the neighbor, you know what, if you're up to me to go for another 12 years, I wouldn't mind at all. I'd be happy. So Rabbi Akiva hears this, you know, he's about to knock on the door. Another 12 years, you know, he turns around and he goes, 12 more years. What? What is he thinking? 12 more years? He's at the door. He's at, it wasn't across the street. He traveled, however long he traveled to get there. And he's at the door, he's about to knock, and he hears her say, oh, I would be happy with another, and he leaves without even saying hello. Chaim Shlomo says, what's the pshat? And famous answer is that 12 and 12 is not 24. Rabbi Akiva learned for 12 years b'hasmada, 12 years b'ritzifus, continually, uninterrupted learning. And he comes back, he knew that was the agreement, 12 years. And then he hears his wife is willing to give him another 12 years. And he knows that if he knocks on the door, that there's going to be an interruption in those 12 years. 12 and 12 is just two 12s. But if he turns around without knocking on the door, he gets 24 consecutive years of learning. And it'll be totally different, qualitatively. I heard from Nissen Kaplan that, I think he said the Chazon Ish used to say a mashal, that the person wants to boil a pot. So, you know, a guy comes to Israel for the year and wants to have a kettle in his room. So he goes to the makola and he buys a kettle. He fills it up with water. He puts it on the stove 3 minutes. Takes it off. He checks. Nothing doing. It's not boiling. Like, it's Israeli stoves. So he goes, he buys, you know, a different brand of American stove, you know, those little electric burners, and he puts his kettle again on the thing, but leaves it there for 3 minutes, takes it off, no boil. He's like, it must be the kettle, Israeli kettles. He asks his mom to send him up a kettle. Sends a kettle, water, stove, American kettle, American stove, puts it on, 3 minutes, takes it off, no boil. It's the Israeli water. So he goes to the Makoli Brides, you know, Mayeden. He fills up his kettle and he puts it on the stove, American stove and American kettle and the spring water. 3 minutes, takes it off, no boil. He's like, I'm in the wrong yeshiva. You know, the outlets here are no good. He finds a different yeshiva. He spends a few years in Israel. Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, Shana Gimel. He never managed to boil the water and he can't understand it. One day at the end of his Shana Gimel, getting ready to go home, he has a new roommate. And he sees the guy drinking hot tea. He's like, this is unbelievable. You know, how'd you boil that water? I just boiled the water. Here it is. Put it on the stove. 5 minutes. I boiled the water. I took it off. It was good. It's great. Boiled. He's like, I've been here for 3 years. I never managed to boil the water. He's like, what have you been doing? He's like, I had the American thing and the American and spring water. I put it on. 3 minutes. Took it off. He's like, yeah, but you took it off after 3 minutes. What do you expect? He's like, yeah, but if you know how many times I put it on for 3 minutes, you know, it was there for like millions of minutes over the course of the last 3 years, and it still never boiled. Joke. The guy comes and sits down the base medrash. You know, I sit down. Here we go. Crack it open. NBA playoffs. It's crazy. And then, you know, like Kevin Durant, MVP. Unthroned LeBron James. Nuts. Living in wild times. Wild times. And so they go, okay, you know, Kate said I ate it nice and zoomin, this and that. They get into the Gemara, Kate said Aina ate it nice and zoomin. What? Anyway, I need a max cake anyway. So we'll get back to this in a minute. Go out, 5 minutes after learning, max cake, come back in. And this is I see this now in my shir the whole year, for many years. Comes back in with the max cake, you know, sit there, eat the max cake, talk about Candy Crush for 10 minutes. And then he's like, guys, ready to go? I see you're done the cake. Okay, let's go. Oh, Rabbi, I need some milk. I need some milk in the cake because now my mouth, you know that feeling in your mouth? I got to get the milk to wash it down. So he goes and he gets milk. There's nothing you can do to stop him, you know. Don't you dare try to stop him. It'll be the end. And then comes back with the milk, drinks the milk. Rabbi, when are we going up to shir? It's almost time for shir, right? We're going to go to shir in 10 minutes. Okay, 10-minute break before shir. There we go. That's the seder. There was maybe like 4.5 minutes of learning because of the seder. And the guy comes at the end of a month. He's like, Rabbi, I don't think the kiyus is for me. Like, I'm not really, I don't feel like I'm getting anything. I don't feel like I'm growing, you know? I'm not really... It's the same in different siddharim also. I just happen to be, it's not, I don't know, it just doesn't speak to me. I think to myself, like what? Like, do you even know my name? You know, like, what do you expect? The guys come to the Beis Medrash and they sit with the phones and all the, there's no havamina that you're going to succeed. There's no havamina that you're going to feel like this geschmack, that I feel like I'm going to enjoy. 12 years and 12 years is not 24 years. 1 minute and 1 minute is not 2 minutes. 15 minutes and 15 minutes is not a half an hour. A guy works on a Mishnah for 15 minutes. Ah, I finally chapped the Mishnah. Okay, let's go get a tea. Goes get a tea, get back, and start the Gemara. Gemara's going the first line of the Mishnah. Whoa, what was that again? We have to go through the Mishnah. There's another 15 minutes. It's a joke. What do you expect to happen? The Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Mishnah so libo l'kayim mitzvah zu karoi, b'lios muchtar b'keser Torah. A person wants to learn Torah properly, he wants to be crowned with the crown of Torah. I just have to mention another thing in my list of examples. Oh, I'll come back to it. Lo yasech dai to l'dvar machir. You can't start thinking about other things. I once told a guy a mashal. You know, you have anybody here familiar with this phenomenon? I don't know if it's like this anymore in like the modern America, but in Israel, it's still like this. I guess at least in my apartment. You know, you're taking a shower. We have two bathrooms, Baruch Hashem, in my apartment. You're taking a shower, and then somebody else wants to either use the water, you know, the washing machine or the other shower. That all of a sudden you're like shower, which is just barely making it to like a decent pressure. All of a sudden it turns on the other shower, and like it's barely dripping on you anymore. You know, it's like you're sticking your head into the thing to try. You know, you want to be focused on the Torah. Right? It turns on the playoffs candy crushes and all the other things that are so distracting for us. And he wonders why again it's not only a matter of, you know, the lack of ritzifus, it's a matter of lack of attention that I'm paying, even when I'm learning. So my dedication is scattered out amongst all these other different things. If you want to be muchtar b'keser Torah, the Rambam says, l'yaseach daito l'dver mechirin, nothing else. No. If I'm focusing now on Torah, I'm focusing now on Torah. This is the year. And these are the last weeks. And next year is the Shanavet last year for some of you. This is it. And Kachi Darkat Shal Torah. This is the way of Torah. Paschal Melech Tocha, Mayim Musar Tishta. A little bit of bread, a little bit of water. Al Ha'aretz Tishon, I'll sleep on the floor. Chayei Tzar Tichya. I'll deny myself certain things that I felt were necessities beforehand. U'betorah ta'amu. And I'm working into toiling, working hard in Torah. Devoting ritzifus, devoting time, continually, non-stop, without the break. You know, a guy's sitting in a shir. How long is a shir? How long does any shir last in this yeshiva? Rabbi David's shir is an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most, but anybody else, not giving a shir more than an hour. Sometimes a shir is only 45 minutes. You sit down in a shir, you've been there for 15 minutes. Wow, I need a whole array of different things, you know? I need to go to the bathroom all of a sudden. I need to send a text. I need to make the email, because right now it's Tuesday. If I don't get the email now before the end of the shir, so I'm not going to have what to do for Shabbos. You know, I'm going to be stuck. It has to be right now. So I have to send the email, and I have to do the text, and I have to go to the bathroom. Right now, I can go. I'm going to Cinema City tonight at 10:45. I'll be in the movies at Cinema City, and I'm going to sit through a whole movie for 2 hours. I'm not going to get up for a second. I'm not even looking at my phone. But if I'm in the shir, so I just can't. I can't. I have to. It's the most important thing. I have to go to the bathroom. Rabbi, Baal Teshaktzi. Have you ever heard of that? Never heard of Baal Teshaktzi. I thought you were a rabbi. Kidding me? And then the Rambam just gives us the inverse also. A little bit later in Hilchos Talmud Torah, "Ein divrei Torah miskayim b'misha marpe atzmo aleihem." I'm going to learn. Learn chill. There's a time for learning chill. I'm okay with that. But there's a time not to learn chill, like morning seder, afternoon seder, night seder. I learn chill during lunchtime, during after night seder. And the guy comes, he's in the Beis Medrash, we're ready to go. He takes off his shoes, he puts his feet up on the chair across from him, you know, straight underneath the table. You know the move. He's got the milk or tea on the one side and the max cake or the Herbie's on the other side. Yeah, Rabbi, ready to go, you know? Let's do this. No, says the Rambam. You don't learn Torah like that. It's not Shaykh. Not only is it not Derech Eretz. Obviously it's not Derech Eretz. But it's not going to go. The learning is not going to be a learning. What's the learning? El b'misha meimis atzmo aleihen. U'mitzayir gufo tamid. V'lo yitin sheina le'enov. V'lafapav tnuma. I'm working. I'm working hard. I'm exerting myself. I don't know how many of you guys pulled all-nighters in high school. In college, you'll do it. You have a paper, you have a test, a big test, an interim final. The week before, you're going. You're working hard. You feel yourself studying, and you feel the intensity of the study. I feel the energy that I'm exerting into getting this paper well, writing this paper well. Rabosai, how many people can say that they feel the exertion when they're sitting in the base measure and learning? That's what the Rambam says. Maybe it's atzmo aleihen. The story of Rav Shach in the Rav Shach biography that they put out, it's not really so much of a story, it's a description of his circumstances when he was learning in I think it was in Panovich at the time. This is the way Rav Shach says it over. He says, I had nothing, absolutely nothing. I had no idea where my family was. This is during the First World War. I had no food. I lived off of leftover bits of bread left behind by the old men who ate in the Beis Medrash. That and a cup of tea was my regular meal. The bread crusts served as the only available sweetener for the tea. My shoes were too small for me. My toes were sticking out. I had no bath towel. I went without a haircut for a year and a half, and my hair was all matted. My trousers were torn, and my cuts and sores showed through. So I turned the trousers inside out. This made the holes a bit less obvious. I had only one shirt. When I needed to wash it, I had to put on my coat and launder the shirt in the Beis Medrash sink, and then go up to the roof to dry it. There I held tight the lapels of my worn-out coat to best cover my chest. Ashamed, I stayed that way and continued to study until the shirt was dry enough to wear again. Because of the extreme cold, I wasn't able to wash my hands properly before learning, since the water was instantly freezing on my hands. Light was also a problem, as I couldn't afford candles, and no other form of lighting was available during that period. The shul had no lamps. So what did I do? I unraveled threads from the edges of my coat and shirt and fashioned them into wicks. These I dipped in oil, and I collected in a cup from the leftovers I found in the shul. The light these makeshift candles gave was so poor that when the moon came out from the clouds, I would run over to the window to study by its light. This is amelus. This is dedication. And it's a little bit overwhelming to hear something like that. And I don't think any of us are expected, or expect ourselves even, to do anything even that somewhat resembles that description of Rav Shach. But I'll just tell you a much more down-to-earth story, a very short story. I have a brother, Shlita, who learns in Eretz Yisrael. He's been in Eretz Yisrael for the last 10 years. And he's married to a tendler. My sister-in-law's grandfather was for many decades the menahel of the high school in Eretz Yisrael. Passed away, I think it was last year. And towards the end of his life, so, you know, he was very sick, very weak. And different grandchildren would come to their house for Shabbos and, you know, help take care of him. And my brother was there one Shabbos with his young family. And Shabbos morning Shabbos, I think, 8 o'clock. And he woke up at 7 o'clock, 6:45. He felt, I'm going to learn for an hour before Shabbos. You know, Mysterious Nefesh. Woke up at 6:45 to learn from the seventh day before Shabbos on the Shabbos morning. He's feeling, you know, very happy with himself. This is the way he told it to me. And he goes downstairs to the dining room where the table is, and he sees his wife's grandfather. The man is months away from death. He's sitting at the table at 7 o'clock in the morning with the oxygen mask over his face, you know, learning. And my brother looked at him and he said it was the most humbling feeling that he had felt. You know, we feel like, you know, waking up an hour early is great. I'm not taking that away from him or from anybody else. To wake up an hour early on Shabbos morning to learn before Shabbos is gevaldik. But then you see a man who's on the verge of death sitting at the table learning with the oxygen at the same time. It's a musr. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, Rabban Gamliel ibn Osher Yehuda Anasi Omer, Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, Sheyigi Hashem Mishakach HaSavim. That Talmud Torah is good with Derech Eretz. Well, not everybody is going to be, imagine almost nobody is going to be that guy who's sitting learning Beritzifos for the next 24 years, or even the next 12 and 12 years, or even for the next 2 and 2 years, Beritzifos uninterrupted. But that doesn't mean that this is a shmooze that should be lost on. Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, Sheyigi Hashem Mishakach HaSavim. That Talmud Torah together with Derech Eretz, the twirling over both together, causes sin to be forgotten. So there's a discussion that we've shown him. Whenever we have two ideas that are connected with an im, so which is the main, which is the ikr, and which is the tafel? We have Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. So is the main inyan over here, the Talmud Torah, and im Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is secondary, so to speak. Or is the main inyan here the Derech Eretz, and the Talmud Torah is secondary? So the Tosfos Yontif over there, on that mission in the Pirkei Avos, he says, the following, based on Rash and Tyros, he says, like the Pasuk says, Re Chaim im Isha, see the life, your life with a wife. So the Iker is the wife. And then secondary to that is the wife. Chaim hu Iker, v'achanami Torah hu Iker. So over here we have Chaim im Isha, the first clause of the two that are connected by the im, that's the main one. Torah is Iker, and Derech Eretz is Tafel. This is Tosfos Yontif. But there is a Tosfos Yeshanim in Yuma, in Daf Pei Hei, where he has a whole lot of richos. He brings down like all different, I didn't even look it up this time, I have it in my notes from a long time ago, but he brings down all different makors of Eims. I don't remember if it's Psukim or Chazals. Eims! And he quotes a day over there in Tosfos Yeshanim, that when you have an Eim, the Iker one is the second one, and the Tafel is the first. So Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, the Iker is the Derech Eretz, and the Tafel is the Talmud Torah. Which is a little bit jarring, it's not what we'd expect. So what's the pshat? So I just want to say for Amudeish, a nice pshat, we can reconcile this apparent contradiction. The Amudeish says maybe you can answer based on Gemara and Sanhedrin. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin, Amr of Amnuna, Ein Tchilas Dino Shal Adam Nidon El Al Divrei Torah. When a person goes to Shemayim at the end of his life, Amei Ve'esrim, so the first judgment, the first question he's going to be asked is a question about Divrei Torah. Did you learn properly? And Tosfos over there asks Akasha, the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph that we learned this year, or some may have seen this year. Amar Rava, Veshosh Machnisin Adam Ladin, Omrim Lo, Nasata Ve'Nasata Ve'Emuna, Kavati Yitkin Torah, etc. The first question relates to honest business practices. And the second question relates to Talmud Torah. Tosfos asks, what's the first one? What's it going to be? So the Marsha over there answers, well, it depends. What type of person were you? Were you a guy who sat in Kolo? Were you an Avreich Kolo? That was your Iker Tafkin in life? To sit down to these measures and learn Yom V'Laila? Because if that was your main Tafkin, if that was your main goal, if that was your main Avoda in the world, so the first question you're going to get asked is, Kavata Yitin Matoba. What the Marsha says, if you're a person who has a job, lives in the world as a regular person, a normal, what we call normal life, and you're, of course, Kovei Yitim LaTorah, so then the first question for you is going to be Nasata V'Natata V'Emunah, did you do business honestly? And then afterwards, so the question is going to be Kavata Yitim LaTorah. And perhaps the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is the same, Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, Shigi Hashnei Meshachach HaSavon, that Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, I need both. Which is the Iker? The Talmud Torah says, well, it depends. It depends. If I'm the guy who's sitting and learning Shtagim all day, so then the Talmud Torah is the Iker. If I'm the guy who's working a full day and he's coming home, he's learning a night seder, so then the Derech Eretz is the Iker. But the Derech Eretz Iker person, who I assume is most of us in the room, so he also has in B'chut Kol Satir Lechu. He also has a chiyuv of Shetiyu Ameinu B'Torah. There's a Sfas Emes over there in that same Mishnah. The Sfas Emes says like this: Ha'adam hu b'derech teva levad k'doshim asher ba'aretz shehim be'emes l'malam min ha'teva. He said a regular person who lives within the world of nature, barring those few exceptions, those special people, those Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's of the world, who live on a different plane, who live on a different level. Those Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's, the Mitzvah Sefer says, they learn Torah all day, and they're meant to learn Torah all day. But a regular person can't just drop everything and deny his nature, deny who he is. This is Fasem is speaking, not me. And deny who he is and just learn all day. It's not who he is. He's not holding by that yet. La la. He can build himself to that, but he's not there right now. You never start on day one as a guy who's going to sit in the base measure for 18 hours a day. It doesn't start that way. It's not possible. Except for the few exceptions. So says the Fasem is, in the beginning, a person is not kavua b'Torah. Rak k'she'en ha'Torah so seres lo inyanei ha'teva u'mekadesh atzmo b'inyanei olam hazeh v'osik b'Torah imalacha v'nikshar tivo gam kim b'Torah. So then, mishakachas avon. When a person lives in this world and he learns Torah in this world, not denying who he is, not pretending that he's a kolol avreich who's going to learn for a decade. He's who he is, and he learns Torah. So the work that he does, together with the Torah that he learns, causes his sins to be forgotten. It'll help him avoid sin. But says the Sfas Emes, explaining the next line in the Mishnah, Avot Torah she'ein ima malacha, im kein kishayasot b'teva yilasha ke'adam acher. If a person denies himself who he is, he says, I'm just going to learn. But I'm not holding by that. I'm a young guy. I've never really learned before. But I'm just going to learn. I'm not going to play ball anymore. I'm not going to lift weights anymore. I'm not going to go to college anymore. I'm just going to sit there and do nothing else. So then, says the Sfas Emes, Kishiyasu Peteva Hu Lishah Ke'odem Acher. At those times when he's forced out of the Beis Medrash, so he becomes a different person. He starts living two parallel lives. Because he hasn't integrated. He's not familiar enough yet with the Torah to integrate it into his regular life. So he starts to live two parallel lives. And that, Sofa Batel of the Gerar Sefer. That the Mishnah says, in the end, the Torah is not going to last, and it causes him to sin. I'm going to try and end with the next 3 minutes. The Pachad Yitzchak has a letter where he describes this exact phenomenon. Rav Huttner was written a letter by a Talmud. The Talmud describes how he's left yeshiva, and he started working. He's involved in what he calls here the secular career, and he writes these phrases in English, and he says now he feels like he's living a double life. I'm living a double life. I have the life of me in the Beis Medrash, and I have the life of me when I'm at work. He's suffering from the promise Sfas Emes, that the Torah that he learned when he was in yeshiva, he never integrated it. He saw it as, I have to be only learning. If not learning, there's something missing. If I'm doing something else, there's something missing. There's the Torah, and there's everything else. But it's not the case. The Torah is all-encompassing, has to be integrated into every area of life, and that's what Huttner tells him. He says, there's no such thing, chas v'shalom, to think that you're leading a double life. And he makes a chiluk, a distinction between what he calls a double life and a broad life. Mashal ma'adavar dumna, he says. If a person goes and he rents an apartment on one side of town, and then he goes and rents another apartment on the other side of town, each one has a room in it, so there's a one-room apartment over here, one-room apartment over there, and he lives during the week in the apartment on the west side, and for the weekends he goes to his room on the east side. So here we have a person with a double life. But a person who rents one apartment with two rooms in it, so he doesn't have a double life. He just has a bigger apartment, it's a broader life. Our Talmud Torah, Derech Eretz, Chas V'Shalom, are inside the Beis Medrash and are outside the Beis Medrash, it's not a double life. It's a broad life. And he tells a story over here about a doctor. He names him. Okay, I won't read through it not to find the name. A doctor in Shari Tzedek Hospital, where he saw that the doctor was going in to perform a surgery. Before he performed the surgery, he asked the patient for his name. And then he said a parak of Tehillim and davened for the patient that he went ahead to go and operate on before the surgery. Would we call that a double life? That's not a double life. That's a broad life. That's an integration. That's saying that there's no different person of me in the Beis Medrash. It's not that there's the learning me, there's the yeshiva me, and then there's the home me, the other me. No. Chas v'shalom. And it has to be Yafa Talmud Torah and Derech Shigiyah Shneim. The Mishnah says, Yigiyah Shneim, Amel V'yigiyah. That when a person has the times that he's learning, Rosh Hashanah Aleph Kai, 3 Siddurim. morning, afternoon, and night. And there's a lot of free time in between and after. And people use that free time to do other things, absolutely. But when you're in the Beis Medrash, Yigiyas Shneim, Shakach HaSavon. Go ahead and do the things that you're going to do outside. The healthy, recreational activities. But in the Beis Medrash, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse to say, I'm not going to take this one so seriously. Next year, anyway, I'm going to college. When's the next time you open up a Gemara anyway? What do you mean? There has to be an integration. There's the Talmud Torah and there's the Derech Eretz, and they always come together. I'll just end off with the Rambam. I'm very fond of this Rambam. It speaks to the concept of this integration. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, when he describes the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, so the Rambam says, Ketzad hi'av ha'ra'uya. What's the proper Avas Hashem that a person should have? Shiyeh Avas Hashem Ahava G'dolah Yaseira Azim Me'od, an extremely overwhelming, powerful Ahava towards Hashem. Shetei Nafsho K'shur B'Avas Hashem B'Nimtza Shogeh B'Tamid. He's constantly involved, contemplating Avas Hashem. Kilu Chole Choli Ha'Ava. He's lovesick. She'ein Daito P'nuya Ma'Avas Osa Isha B'Hu Shogeh B'Tamid. Like a guy who has a crush on a girl. He's always thinking about the girl. B'im B'Shifto, B'im B'Kumo, B'im B'Shashu Ochel V'Shosa. When he gets up, when he sits down, when he's eating. Even though he's doing all those things, he's thinking about the girl. He's in class, even though he's in class, he's thinking about the girl. He's eating breakfast, even though he's eating breakfast, he's thinking about the girl. He's waking up in the morning, even though he's waking up in the morning, first thing, he's thinking about the girl. Despite all the other things he's doing, he's at work, even though he's at work, he's thinking about the girl. He's a crush. So says the Rambam, when it comes to Avas Hashem, has to be more than that. Yes, sir, Mizet, yeah, Avas Hashem, believe all. Even more than that has to be Avas Hashem. So I once told Akasha, how can it be even more than that? It's not shy. We just described a situation where a person is thinking about Hashem all day and all night, thinking about a girl all day and all night. So how could it be that he's thinking about Hashem even more than that? And the Teretz is that there's a difference between even though and because of. This guy, when he thinks about the girl, even though he's at work, he's thinking about the girl. Despite the fact that he's eating and drinking, he's thinking about the girl. Despite. Even though. But when it comes to Avas Hashem, it can't be despite. It can't be even though. It has to be because. Because of my Avas Hashem in that work. Because of my Avas Hashem, I'm in the Beis Medrash. Because of my Avas Hashem, I wake up, and I go to sleep, and I eat and I drink. It's an integration. It's all part of the same picture. So, Mir Tzachem, Rebosei, Mishpizocha, really, in Bechukosei, Teilechu, Shetiu, Amelim, Batorah, and have a great rest of the year together.